141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Matt O'Reilly says Brendan Rodgers' management style is refreshing. Rangers fans are still waiting for that Cyril Dessers announcement, and Dylan Levitt seals his move from Dundee United to Hibs. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Hugh Keevans.
Well, Brendan Rodgers might be a refreshing change for Matt O'Reilly and the other Celtic players, but it's almost 2 weeks since he was unveiled as Celtic's manager for the second time, Andrew, and the fans are still waiting for that big statement signing. Celtic off to Portugal on Monday for pre-season training. Rangers, they're going to Germany, and we're still waiting for word on Dessers, but it can only be a matter of time.
Yeah, since we last had you on, Hugh, there has been a sale from Celtic. Jota going to Saudi Arabia, for around £25 million. Then there was the new contract for Kyogo that was announced yesterday morning as well. What have you made of it all?
Everyone's a winner with regard to Jota. Celtic have made an outstanding profit, albeit they have to pay money back to Benfica as part of the contractual agreement. And I think to get Kyogo so quickly after the departure of Jota is inspired business, because it just calms everything down before anyone gets the impression that Celtic are going to become a feeder club for those in the Middle East.
And you look at the other side of the city, there is no official announcement yet for Cyril Dessers. He looks as if he will be the 6th summer signing for Rangers. It's only the 5th of July. It's you know, quick work that Michael Beale's doing at Ibrox.
He had to do the work though, Andrew, because so many were leaving the club at the same time, Morelos and Kent being chief among them. It's very intriguing business from Michael Beale, because all of these guys have to hit the ground running. They're under pressure from day one when they go to play Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, but it's a very interesting looking collection of players that he has assembled, and the fans will be delighted to understand that they're all forward going players.
Well, let's hear from you at home. The beauty of these summer shows is if you want to talk about your team, if you want them to be the agenda today, then all you need to do is phone in and talk about them. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. But as I say, we always want to hear from you on the phone, so use that number, 0141 951 1025. We will get onto it a bit later as well, but there has been an official signing at 6 o'clock. Dylan Levitt has sealed his move from Dundee United to Hibs, and I must give a mention for the announcement video that Hibs have put up, which is essentially a spoof of the Al Ittihad very strange announcement video that they did for Jota. And Hibs have basically just put it out beat by beat exactly the same, but just changed the elements to Hibs and Dundee United and Dylan Levitt. It's very good. It's being very well received on Twitter.
Well, plagiarism is an honourable part of the old profession. I like Dylan Levitt as a player. You know, I remember the game at Tannadice when Celtic won the league first time around for Ange Postecoglou. He scored a magnificent goal that night, and he's a dangerous player. And I think he'll get a real lift from going to a bigger club, a bigger ground, a bigger support, and he will give Lee Johnson and those players a lift.
Yeah, lots of business is happening. The new season is creeping closer. A lot of pre-season friendlies on the go as well. I mean, it's only around 10 days until the first competitive fixtures in the Viaplay Cup group stages. And I've already seen, you know, plenty of teams that are in action in 10 days that some fans are maybe starting to get a bit worried that their team aren't doing the business that they were hoping they would do. Some are more excited because their team have been busy in the market.
Yeah, well, you see some of the players coming into clubs out with the top six in our Premiership, and they are what could be described as journeymen. You know, Ross County, I know, bought Eamon Brophy, and that's good for them, but they have Roy McGregor, a very rich man, as their owner. There was a huge gap, Andrew, as you well know, between Celtic and Rangers and the rest of the league last season. We'd like to see that gap shortened. Aberdeen have done good business. I like Dylan Levitt going to Hibs. I think Frankie McAvoy will breathe fresh life into Hearts. But those underneath, you know, they can only deal with the kind of finance that they have.
Well, let's go straight to the phones. John is a Celtic fan in Clydebank. He's dialed 0141 951 1025. John, what is on your mind tonight?
Basically, I'd say the panel, first, I'd just like to say hello, panel. He's doing all right. He's all good tonight.
Yeah, yes, all good, John.
good stuff, and that's a start, isn't it? But yeah, isn't it, boys? Basically, what I see is, listen, my wee pals to Blue Celtic years ago, and you know what? Celtic's a buying and selling club, boys. Listen, for a Celtic fan, in the making, in the air, in the room, whatever they came to, you're going to be loving life, because you know what's happening here? We are making millions. And all Rangers fans through the other route, anticipating, and dissectings, they're not having a clue what's really on here. But I'm going to say for a certain point of view, we hate it, but we love it. And that comes from Brendan Rodgers.
Well, now
it's safe to say Jonas is happy with the return of Brendan Rodgers.
Absolutely. He's won the first prize in life. He comes from Clyde Bank. But this is the time of year when you can be super optimistic. However, a ball has not been kicked yet. You have to wait to the 5th of August. As I say, Celtic have signed two younger players so far. I'd bet that Brendan Rodgers was not involved in either of those transfers. We're waiting for the first Brendan Rodgers buy that will signify the extent of Celtic's ambition in that department. But, you know, it's not as simple as saying Celtic have got a lot of money and Rangers don't have the same amount of money as Celtic, therefore Celtic will finish first. The football matches will decide that.
It still will give Celtic fans a lot of comfort. Yes, many will be disappointed that Jota has left, but that money is in the bank. Yes, a portion of it will go to Benfica, but it's a big money move. And the next step is Celtic fans will be really interested to see how Brendan Rodgers is going to spend that.
To be fair to Celtic, 8 of the last 10 major transfers in this country, in an outgoing sense, over the last 10 years, have been Celtic players going out, like Jota, Kieran Tierney, another 25 million there. And Celtic have made the most of that money, because over the last 10 years, Celtic have won every title except for one. So they have made the best of their good dealings in the transfer market, and now the fans are waiting, because there's tens, literally tens of millions of pounds in the bank. And they're waiting to see how that money is spent by Brendan Rodgers. But I repeat, it's not as simple as saying Celtic have £70 million in the bank for the sake of conversation and Rangers don't have anything like that, therefore Celtic will win the title. It's not that simple.
When you look at the deals that Celtic have done already in Odin Thiago Holm and Marco Tilio, they are signings in the mould of what we've seen previously from Celtic of bringing in young players and hoping that they will turn into these big money sales that you've mentioned and cited.
Yeah, as I say, 8 of the last 10 major transfer deals in an outgoing sense have belonged to Celtic in the last decade. Kieran Tierney was an academy player who made them £25 million. So their work in that field is unprecedented, wildly successful. Now we wait to see what Brendan Rodgers does next and how it all turns out on the park.
You're talking about money there, but as you say, money isn't everything. It's about how the money is spent.
Yeah.
And Celtic fans will be happy with the recruitment over the last couple of years, and they'll have every right to feel confident that that money will be spent in the right way.
The reason why John was slightly over the top for me was that in the season when Celtic most wanted to win the league title, they didn't. And part of the reason why they didn't win that title, and Steven Gerrard and Rangers did, was that Celtic made one bad buy after another. The goalkeeper Barkas was terrible. Shane Duffy on loan just didn't work out. Bolly, Bolling, Golly, least said, soonest mended, where he's concerned. And on it went. And they imploded. So their money didn't get them the title that season, and that's why you have to be careful. Of course they must be the overwhelming favourites, given that Brendan Rodgers can bring in two or three first-class signings, but we'll need to see who comes in and if they are successful.
That's where the intrigue will come for Rangers supporters, because we've not seen a rebuild or a revamp or whatever you want to call it at Rangers of this scale in quite a long time. And you talk about teams going through certain periods of having good recruitment and bad recruitment. Rangers fans will be really intrigued to see where these players fall into, because there's obviously a lot of risk involved in making this many changes, but Michael Beale clearly feels it's necessary.
But I think the optimism among the Rangers fans comes from one factor, and that is that things had gone stale. Morelos had been in decline for a long time, and Rangers hung on to him for too long and it cost them money. Kent flattered to deceive for a long time, and they should have got rid of him long before they did as well. Now there's a freshness and there's an optimism about the people who are coming in. But as I said about Celtic, whoever they buy, they've got to hit the ground running, and that applies to Rangers as well. We'll know from August 5 onwards.
Is that why maybe the signing of Cyril Dessers, which as at this point is not yet confirmed, would expect it to be either tonight, potentially tomorrow, that he is a 28-year-old striker. He's played in Serie A. He's not of the type who Rangers are bringing in and is young and are looking to develop. They're hoping that this player is coming in as the finished product.
Well, Serie A background, but didn't score a tremendous amount of goals there. And that has been characteristic of the players that Rangers have brought in so far. But Cantwell hit the ground running. Raskin hit the ground running. And if Michael Beale's judgment is as good with regard to the new ones who have come in, Rangers will be okay.
Well, let's hear from you. As I say, whatever you want to chat to us about, give us a call. 01419511025. Kevin is a Celtic fan up next in Airdrie. Kevin, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
What are you thinking tonight, Kevin?
It's a wee question for you. There's one rumours of Kieran Tierney been touted to come back to Celtic Park on loan, which is going to cost like a fair amount of wages. But I've been a big fan the day he arrived at Parkhead, and Moussa Dembele. So would you think it'd be worth Celtic to go for a year because he's a free agent and bring him back?
First of all, with regard to Kieran Tierney, I don't think that will happen. As I understand it, Kieran earns £120,000 a week at Arsenal. Even if he took a 50% wage cut, that would be £60,000, making him by far the highest paid player at Celtic Park. How would Callum McGregor feel about that, for example? I don't think that one will happen. I think that the finance, although Celtic have plenty of money, I think finance would get in the way of that one. With regard to Moussa Dembele, outstanding player. However, he and Brendan Rodgers parted on the very worst of terms.
Yeah, there was quite a public tweet from Moussa Dembele, wasn't it? It was something like hashtag be careful who you call your leader, something along those lines from memory. So, I mean, whether that was a dig at Brendan Rodgers, whether that was a dig at someone else at Celtic, it certainly was a bit of an unceremonious ending, despite the fact that he was very successful at Celtic.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he is a top-class player. Brendan has had to put up with a lot of controversy regarding his own return. Therefore, he wouldn't be bothered about Dembele coming back when the Celtic fans might have been unhappy at the manner of his departure. But I don't know if Brendan Rodgers fancies him in the team. I'm fascinated, like everyone else, to find out who Brendan Rodgers does fancy bringing to Celtic Park. I'm not sure Dembele would be top of your list.
Yeah, Kevin, you think if Moussa Dembele was to come back that it would have to be a pretty significant outlay in terms of wages. Is that where Celtic should be targeting, especially with Kyogo signing a new deal until 2027?
You look at we've only really got Kyogo up front now because Oz no tried and tested yet, I don't think, especially in Europe, whereas Dembele's been about now, so he's only 26, but I still think it would be a statement signing for Europe.
There are so many variables with this, Kevin. Would Moussa Dembele regard a return to Scotland as being necessarily in his best interest at this particular time? He may very well think it would be a great idea, I don't know. But it's a possibility that he might think Scotland would be a retrograde step.
I just need to put his name back in the limelight for the Champions League. If he's a good season again, then the big clubs will come calling, I would think.
Well, you know, the fascination for me is that, as I say, Brendan was unveiled, it'll be 2 weeks come Friday, and he hasn't shown his hand in any way. I do believe that Tilio and Holm would have been done before Brendan came back to the club. So we're still waiting for that statement, Kevin. And by the way, I'm absolutely convinced there will be a statement, or statements plural, because you can't have that amount of money and not do something with it.
Kevin, does one of those big signings that Hugh's talking about, does that need to be in a wide area as a direct replacement for Jota?
I'd say no so much as a centre-back, and a big forward. I like big centre forwards.
Well, I agree with you with regard to the centre back. I think there's a definite vacancy for a commanding centre back there. Cameron Vickers has been first class. Kobayashi is young, inexperienced, and it showed when he played last season, but he's got time to develop. Starfelt, for me, can be in and out.
He was more in than out, though, last season,
to be fair
say.
To him, yeah. But I agree with Kevin. I think there's room for a centre-back in there, and there is room for another striker because O is very raw. Again, you've got to give him time to develop, mature. But there is a need for someone alongside Kyogo, not necessarily to play alongside Kyogo, but to be there. You know, Kyogo can get injured, he could get suspended, whatever, international duty with Japan. So there is a need for another striker.
When it comes to squad building as well, you'd think if a striker of Moussa Dembele's pedigree was to hold any talks with Celtic, that he would want assurances about game time. And if Brendan Rodgers is going to play the way that Brendan Rodgers plays, he will only play with one striker. It would then be a toss-up between, you know, Dembele and Kyogo, where you have to make a compromise in who plays where. It's tough for a manager to have two top quality strikers in a team. As much as many managers would like it, it maybe doesn't help with, I don't know, squad morale or squad management, possibly.
Well, either Kyogo's 4-year contract signifies the fact that Brendan Rodgers believes he is the man, the number one, the main man, or Celtic are safeguarding themselves in case Ange Postecoglou eventually comes back for him. We don't know what's happening with Harry Kane at Tottenham. But regardless of what's going on, Celtic do need another striker. The mystery that we cannot solve is, what is the state of the relationship between Brendan Rodgers and Moussa Dembele? Would they be able to get on with each other, given the way they parted company? Or is it the case that one of them can't stand the sight of the other one?
Kevin, just finally, how happy were you with that news yesterday morning that Kyogo had signed a new long-term deal?
Yeah, I think Hugh hit in the head there. Celtic are safeguarding herself just in case somebody comes in from, they can just put their price tag on it now.
Yeah,
I think in a season, Kyogo will go.
I also think, Kevin, that there does come a time when Celtic are obliged to function as Celtic Football Club and not sell everyone the first time somebody offers them big money. I know money's important and you can't exist without it. However, there comes a time, if you want to be making a higher profile for yourself in Europe, then you've got to keep your best players.
Well, thank you to Kevin. Rangers fans, we want to hear from you as well. We'll hear a bit from Jack Butland. He's been speaking this week after joining the club, and we want to hear your thoughts on what's happening at your club. So 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to join us as well. All you need to do is dial 01419511025. You can send us a tweet as well at Clyde SSB. I know there's plenty of Rangers fans out there still waiting for that Cyril Dessers announcement, which I think will come some point soon. But they have made 5 signings already. One of those, goalkeeper Jack Butland, who has been speaking to the media this week. He says he's aiming to emulate club legends Andy Gorham and Alan McGregor and has been watching clips of them to prepare for his time at Ibrox.
So that's the plan. Obviously, you're talking about two goalies that have, the goalie, obviously Greigsy, you know, two guys that have got an incredible history with the club that knew what Rangers was about. So me watching that sort of memorial video, if you like, to Andy Gorham the other day, painted a picture of what he was like and what he meant to the club and what the club meant to him. So I think that's what this club's all about. It's got a rich history of top goalkeepers, and that's something that, you know, I'll be looking to continue, both on and off the pitch, just trying to learn about the club, enjoy it, take it all in, and hopefully follow in their footsteps, which is, of course, a big ask because of what they've done, but it's what we're capable of doing, and that'll be great.
Andy is a Rangers fan up next in Finiston. Andy, how are you?
Not bad, how are you boys, all right?
Yes, all good. Andy, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm just saying the producer, I'm just like, the way Michael Beale's selling, you know, he's saying all his attacking players, I think definitely he's going to play 2 up front next season. I really do. Because I don't know what's going to happen with Kolak and Roof. I mean, as you, I think one of them, at least one of them's got to go. But just the way, you know, he's just going for it this year. I think he's going to definitely play two up front. And then the one player that I'll take that point, Andy, and I'll
let you come back in, because there were certainly big signs of that towards the end of the season, where instead of playing with a more traditional front three, as we saw a lot of the time under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, that Michael Beale tended to play with Ryan Kent in behind two strikers that would sometimes split out wide. But you just look at the numbers game in terms of how many strikers Rangers now have, because Sam Lammers has been brought in, Abdallah Sima can play through the middle, Cyril Dessers will come in, and that'll be another striker. Andy then mentions the likes of Antonio Čolak, Kemar Roof, there's Fashion Sakala that was playing in one of those two positions. So there's a lot of players to fit into that position.
I was going to say Sakala's hit or miss. The unfortunate thing for Sakala, when he missed, it was in vitally important games. He could have made a big impression in games against Celtic, but he had two very bad misses.
I think that's part of the reason why Michael Beale is going to address that area.
Yes, you've got to have greater faith in your striker than that. I think Čolak will move on if Rangers get an offer. Funnily enough, Kemar Roof for me is a very dangerous striker. If he could get any semblance of fitness...
But then how often do people say that about Kemar Roof, that if you can get him fit, then he'll score goals? He does have a very good goals record, but how often can you keep saying about a player that, you know, if you can get him fit, then he'll be a key player? Does there need to be a certain point where you just... move them on, or continue to say it this summer?
Kemar Roof is what would be termed as at the veteran stage, but I wouldn't give up on him. By the same token, at Celtic, Mikey Johnson is back, another injury prone player, but much younger than Kemar Roof, and I wouldn't give up on Mikey Johnson either. However, the point about Andy's making about two up front, Rangers have to win this league. They really do, because my contention is, and you can argue all you like about it, whoever finishes second gets the sack. If Brendan Rodgers finishes second, he'll get the sack. And if Michael Beale finishes second, he'll get the sack, because Rangers can't wait for Michael Beale to beat Celtic. I know he beat them after the league was won last season. Rangers need to recapture the league title. And if Brendan Rodgers is being paid the highest fee ever for a manager in Scottish football and has tens of millions of pounds in the bank and he finishes second, the fans won't want him to stay. It's as simple as that.
Andy, just on Kemar Roof, is he someone that you still have faith in, that he can be a regular goal scorer and a regular player for Rangers, or is it time for him to move on for you?
Well, I can't actually quite agree with what you were saying there. I mean, it's just his injury problem. No, you said how long do we keep giving him, you know, another season, and he's out for 2, 3, 4 months. I mean, he is a top quality striker when he's on for him, but it's just his injury prone, and that's the only thing that's putting me off.
Because the numbers game, when you talk about that area with Michael Beale, you could look at it two ways. He's maybe thinking that he wants Kemar Roof to stay about the place, but he just can't rely on him to stay fit, and he'll use him if and when, or he's bringing in players that will be his replacement, for example, or Antonio Čolak's replacement, for example, if he was to move on, and so on.
Well, if everyone is worried about Kemar Roof and his inability to get over the fact that he's injury prone, then no one will come in for him anyway. So you may have to just keep him there and hope that he can find a spell in his career when he's not dogged by injury. But for me, he's a natural goal scorer.
What was your next point you wanted to make, Andy?
I was just one of the players that I've just read that I hope Rangers keep Hadji. I really do. I mean, I think that once he gets a full season under his belt, a pre-season, I've seen a couple of clubs I've looked at him, Rangers might be considering, but I really do hope he's a class act.
He's had a real tough time of it with injuries, Yanis Hadji. He certainly didn't look as sharp as you've seen him towards the end of the season, but that's understandable when there's been so long out. It'll be a case of, I suppose, how he returns after this full pre-season, Hugh.
We're now living in strange times. You know, you never know with the Saudi interest now, if I'm not saying this applies to Yanis Hadji or to anybody else, but players in general, at the back of their mind, particularly at Celtic or Rangers, would be thinking now, Saudi Arabia, £200,000 a week. So Rangers, I'm sure Andy's not alone. The Rangers fans would rather had you stayed.
Is Tom Lawrence a player that could be like a new signing this season, Andy? Because he was only seen very early on last season. There were certainly Rangers fans that were impressed with his early showings, but being out for the full season, is he someone you're looking forward to playing under Michael Beale?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I did say it months and months ago. I said, but he's going to be a new signing when he hopefully comes back after pre-season. He's fine. He's going to be another major player as well for us, hopefully. I'm looking forward to seeing him playing.
You know, Celtic won the league and deservedly. So, you know, don't think for one moment I'm detracting from Celtic's achievement. But Rangers were very unfortunate in the sense of losing Hadji for as long as they did. Tom Lawrence for as long as they did. Roof. You know, they will be, it's a real big cliche in the game, it'll be like getting a new player, but it will be in the case of Hadji and Tom Lawrence. So if they are fine, healthy, then they will be big additions for Michael Beale.
Andy, are you quite looking forward to the sign of Daryl Sessors, Cyril Dessers, sorry, in a Rangers shirt? Easy for me to say.
Seems to, all these players he signed, he seemed to go down there and meet some face to face, and he puts the confidence into them. And you know, like, as you said earlier at last in Campbell, I mean, the players are buying it, so I'm really quite looking forward to the signings. I know some people say that he's not scored a lot of goals, but mate, the way Michael Beale's talking to these players, you know, you're reading things, the players are going, right, I am going to get back to what I can do. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, and Michael Beale's recruitment so far seems very specific. He is going out his way to fly to Italy to speak to Cyril Dessers, to speak to Sam Lammers, who was at Atalanta as well. He's going all out to make sure he wants this, gets the specific targets that he wants. And he's obviously got an image of his mind of exactly what player he needs and what style in each position. And the fact that he's going all out and meeting these players face to face is showing his ambition to get these players.
It's a modern day managerial thing, because I read that Brendan Rodgers, while at his home in Mallorca, had called Odin Thiago Tom home, and who happened to be in Mallorca on holiday, and got him over to the house to have a look into his eyes as well. So
I think even Callum McGregor went to go and visit Brendan Rodgers in Mallorca as well, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was there to give the full rundown on the squad. But managers now like to look into their eyes and see. I'm intrigued to know what happens if they look into their eyes and think, I don't fancy him at all. But all so far we've heard about all the success stories.
Yeah, Andy, what's next then for Michael Beale? What, once this Cyril Dessers signing is announced, is there a specific position or positions that you think Rangers need to look at?
I'm not too actually sure who would maybe cover for maybe Conor Goldson. Maybe, you know, I'm not, but I'm quite happy actually. You know, maybe Conor Goldson, you know, he's hoped, I heard he's back training a wee bit. I don't know if he's going to be for the start of the season, but you know, I am quite, apart from that, I'm quite happy.
Yeah, I mean, Dujon Sterling has been brought in as a centre-back, can play right-back as well, but is right-footed. There is also talk about Jonathan Panzo from Nottingham Forest. So Michael Beale addressing both ends of the park, because he's looking for those defenders as well. They seem to be pretty well set in midfield, although yeah. Jose Cifuentes from LAFC is a deal that seems to be rumbling on in the background as well.
I am impressed by the speed with which Michael Beale has worked. I am impressed by the lengths he will go to, as we said, going to see these players where they live and finding out all about them. The most intriguing thing, though, is that number of players being asked to gel and hit the ground running, and the game against Celtic is on the 3rd of September. You're barely into the season before they have to really come good in that one match in particular. So
is that a big benefit of getting the business done at this point, though? What am I saying? It's 5th of July at the moment. Rangers close to announcing a 6th signing. It would mean that Michael Beale has as full a pre-season as possible to try and get this squad to bond. They'll have plenty of pre-season friendlies to test things out.
Every day is vital. And it is better for him to have that number of players to bring them together and get them organised, get them cohesive as a unit. Celtic do have a squad that have just won a treble. They have lost Jota, who's a big part of that treble, but they still have in the main, the squad that won a treble.
Well, thank you to Andy, 01419511025, and you could be up next. Let's hear a bit more from Jack Butland, shall we? He hopes a move to Ibrox can relaunch his England career, but he insists that is not his priority.
Look, I'm a patriotic guy. You know, it's always important to me. My country's always been important to me. To have represented them in the past is an honour. I would, of course, love to get back to that. It's not my sole focus. My focus is to be successful at club level, and that's to do my job here. And whatever happens with that, I've always said that will take care of itself. That's for others to decide. But that only happens if we're doing what we need to here and I'm playing well enough, which at the minute is my sole focus. And if that comes, then that is a bonus.
Yeah, the discussion around Rangers' goalkeeping situation last season was pretty contentious. John McLaughlin started things off and then fell out the team after those mistakes against Celtic. Alan McGregor had a long spell in. Then Rangers fans were calling for Robbie McCrory to get his chance towards the end of the season. Jack Butland has a big role now because you would expect that he would go in as number one. Rangers fans will be hoping that he's a constant in the team throughout the season.
Well, Michael Beale has signed him to be the number one, without any question. And I know that Jack was only being polite there and answering a question that was put to him from the floor. But to talk about England is to put the cart before the horse. He has to establish himself at Rangers long before we talk about England. And as I say, the goalkeeper, like the outfield players, must do it from the very beginning. The Celtic game on September the 3rd, if you do a McLaughlin in that game, you're off to an awful start.
Well, still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025. But first of all, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
The Cash Register.
Clyde One.
Yes, we are back to a rollover. The call went straight to voicemail today. Remember, you have to have your phone switched on and answer within five rings. You can win £34,400. That's £34,400. But you need to be in the draw. Enter now. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Yvonne won on Tuesday have rolled over. And all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £34,400. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. There was a story that I quite liked over the last couple of days, that a player who has got quite a bit of a TikTok following, your favourite app, of course, Hugh, that you're using all the time, who last season was playing in the Welsh Premier League, but essentially his whole brand on TikTok has been him wanting to make it as a professional footballer. And he's clearly got footballing ability because he's been picked up by clubs. He was playing in the Welsh Premier League last season. He'd filmed himself travelling to Scotland and decided that he was just going to go around different grounds in Scotland, essentially just knock on the front door and ask if he could get a trial.
Yeah.
And he did it at a few clubs. Ended up a couple of days ago, went in at Morton, chapped the door. Last night they had a friendly. He was in the squad for it. That's all he did. Just chapped on the door, went to training, was in the squad. He did get off the bench. Unfortunately, the game was abandoned last night. There was a terrible injury to Mikey Doyle, who was also on trial for Morton. So we wish him all the best, because if a match has to be abandoned, it is terrible. So we wish him all the best. But interested to see how Brandon Dial gets on and whether he gets another chance, because it was only, I think, 1 minute before the game was abandoned that he got on for. But quite interesting to see that story unfold.
Well, I applaud his endeavour, first of all. If you don't ask, you don't get. But, you know, this is professional football, and Morton will be able to work out in a day or two whether he is a charlatan or a proper footballer, and I wish him the very best.
You think he must have impressed to some extent in training, or his sort of back catalogue of clubs must have impressed to some extent the fact that he made it into the matchday squad of a friendly and onto the pitch?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be back in the day that young guys in Scotland would write to all of the clubs, both in Scotland and in England, and ask for a trial because they had belief in their ability, and they would go anywhere and they would try to show that they were worthy of hire. So I applaud Brandon, and I look forward to finding out whether he's in the Morton squad for the first game of the season.
You get plenty of letters written to you as well, but
I do.
Not quite as nice, are they?
No, no. They all end in sad terminology.
0141 951 1025. Paul is a Celtic fan up next in Kirkintilloch. Paul, what are you thinking tonight?
Hey, hi Andrew, hi Hugh.
Hello.
I'm listening to some of the calls about Celtic getting the big fee for Jota, and as well as Hugh often says, as far as the club goes and as far as Scotland, we're cash rich. Now I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but this marquee, the marquee signings that people I'm hearing are saying, Celtic don't sign stars, Celtic make stars. So guys like Jota in the £6 million bracket, that's the market that we operate in as far as stars go. We operate in up and coming guys to sell on, or guys that have maybe been round the walk a bit, like Joe Hart, don't cost any real money, or even guys like Carter Vickers who've been out on loan a good few times, and it's never really happened to them, but we see something in them. So I don't honestly think we're not going to sign finished articles. We're not going to be raiding the Premiership, put it that way, and I don't think we need to. We've got a good business model, and even if we want to progress in the Champions League, I think it would be signing guys that we're looking to progress after Celtic. So the marquee signings, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen.
Well, there comes a point, and all of the points that you've raised, Paul, are unarguable. You are correct. But there does come a point when, and I know that you're not going to go and get Harry Kane to come and sign for Celtic, but there comes a point where you have to buy at a level where you have not previously bought. You know, a £10 million player, for example. If you want to move on and make that impression in Europe, which is a recurring theme for Celtic, then you're going to have to try and investigate. As I say, you're not going to get the top-class players from England. That would be nonsensical. But Brendan Rodgers knows the market very well. Players are around about that £10 million mark. And I would take you back 20 years when and more when Martin O'Neill came into Celtic and the club required uplifting. And Martin was bankrolled straight away for the John Hartsons and the Chris Suttons and the Alan Thompsons. And it had the desired effect. Celtic immediately became a much better side, and within 3 years won a European final under Martin O'Neill. So I think they're at that stage now where your point, as I've said, is accurate, that they specialise in bringing them in on a small fee like Moussa Dembele, selling them for a big one. But they're at a stage now where they can afford, Paul, to buy a couple of players that would cost £10 million each.
Is the problem with players that cost £10 million plus is that they expect the wages to be in line with that? They expect the wages of, you know, what Premier League clubs could potentially pay them, and that may be an issue, because if you are then bringing in a player and he's on a much higher wage than your top earners already, that could, I don't know, unsettle, or then other players then start going to the money men at Celtic and say, well, you know, I should be earning the same as this player. That you need to make sure that all the fees are correct, and it's not just a case of, you know, the transfer fees and the wages both need to be suitable, essentially.
Without being silly, you have to acknowledge that you can't go on asking people to take cut price wages. And I'm not suggesting you go to Kieran Tierney for £120,000 a week, but you can't keep telling people you're one of the biggest clubs in the world and not act like it from time to time.
But then it's just not sustainable for a Scottish club, is it?
No, but they have the money. And I'm not suggesting that they break the bank. I'm saying a couple of players on £10 million would not break the bank. It would still leave you with £50 million in the bank. And with regard to wages, well, Jota, had the move to Saudi Arabia not gone through, was going to go up to £45,000 a week. So that's a very tidy wage. So Celtic are thinking along those lines.
Well, the reports I had seen was that if Celtic had rejected an offer worth £25 million, then Jota's wage would have automatically gone up £10,000 a week to £45,000. Was there any world where Celtic were going to reject a £25 million offer?
Not in this world or the next. So it's a fantastic deal for Celtic and for Jota. But the point I'm making to Paul is you can't go on talking about wanting to make an impression in Europe and also thinking of yourselves as one of the most famous clubs in the world. If you've got that money in the bank, not a top-class Premiership striker, that's not going to happen, a Premier League striker, but you are entitled to think that Brendan Rodgers would be allowed to break the transfer record in Scotland.
Paul?
Can I just come back in there? See your comparison with when Martin O'Neill came in. That doesn't wash now. Celtic signed guys like Neil Lennon. They weren't taking wage cuts coming up here when they were playing in the Premiership. They were getting the same money as they were getting in the Premiership. That can't happen now. When Henrik Larsson was there, he didn't leave to go down to the Premiership because he said himself he could maybe get an extra couple of grand a week. So I'm sorry, Hugh, but your argument doesn't wash. It's a totally different time now.
Well, Paul, in that case, Celtic will go round and round in circles. They'll bring in players like Jota.
But Paul is right, the landscape of football is completely different. Scotland are so much further behind England and a lot of other leagues now financially that you just can't compete. You can't bring in players that are playing regularly at Premier League sides at all, really, because the likes of, you look at Bournemouth are buying players from top sides around Europe and other clubs as well that all those years ago wouldn't have been able to compete. Was at one point Bournemouth were, was it Nicolò Zaniolo in January, they were trying to buy, you know, some of the top players in Italy at that point.
Well, I'll make the point again. You'll go round and round in circles then. You'll bring in the £2-3 million player and you'll hope to sell him for 15, 20, hopefully 25 million. And you'll continue to perform badly in Europe and you won't even make the Europa League.
Is it not just about smart recruitment though, rather than just spending more money?
Well, you can spend more money and recruit smartly at the same time, surely.
Yeah, but you'd think if you just continue to do that and continue to make money, you can keep on just bringing in more quality because there's always going to be quality out there that you can sell on.
Jota was major league quality for Celtic. Now, you're going to have to find somebody comparable. And with regard to another striker to help out Kyogo, I don't accept that you can only do what you've been doing up until now. You're just going to go round and round in circles. What is the point in going on and on about how much money you've got if you have no intention of spending it?
Final point to you, Paul.
No, I want them to spend it. I mean, I want trophies. I don't want money in the bank. I want trophies in the cabinet as it's been. But the market that Celtic will operate in, signing somebody at £7 million, signing somebody at £10 million, I don't think it's got to be that great a difference. The point I'm trying to make is that people sitting here waiting in Celtic making a marquee sign, thinking that Dermot Desmond's going to bankroll it, I don't think it's going to happen. It'll be up and coming, guys.
Would you agree with me, Paul, that if it's up and coming, guys, as you say, and you can't offload them in a season unless they are tremendously up and coming. If Brendan Rodgers doesn't win the league, Paul, you'll want him out.
Oh, I 100%.
Therefore, Brendan should safeguard himself and try the very best he can to make sure that doesn't happen to him by bringing in better class players.
Well, thank you very much to Paul. Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there because we are quickly running out of time. These our shows go very quickly, but do not worry because I will be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock with Gordon DL. So we can continue that discussion then. And of course, there will be plenty else going on around the leagues as well. So if you want to get involved, make sure to join us and phone us then. But thank you to Hugh Keevans in the studio. Thank you for listening in at home. Thank you for all your calls and all your tweets as well. But stay right there because Callum Gallagher is up next and he is joined by Scottish DJ Hannah Lang.